midst of this year? How will we make the most of our life? You know, for most of us in this room, you know, we've been given a certain amount of days. That would be all of us. What do we do with those days that we've been given? You know, our life is only but a vapor. We'll look at that in Scripture. But our life is but a fog or a mist or a vapor that kind of disappears fairly quickly. You guys know whenever, I mean, like if there's ever been a foggy morning or something like that, we get up and it may be thick. And we'll talk about how it's thick as pea soup and all that stuff. But it doesn't take long before the sun or the wind or whatever, the elements begin to work on it, and it disappears. Oftentimes by mid-morning, somewhere along through there, it's gone. And so that fog is gone. And so that's the way it is with our life. So how do we make the most of our life? You know, this past weekend, you know, many of you guys, it looks like y'all survived the blizzard that we were dealing with. And I know that a lot of the northern folks like to make fun of us southerners for getting so excited, but we want to make the most of the snow around here. You know, and I grew up even further south, so we got it even less. I grew up just above Mobile. And so, you know, whenever we got snow, that was a big deal. We wanted to make the most of it. And so some of you guys, you know, you wanted to make the most of this weekend with a little bit of snow and the predictions that were going. So you went out and you bought bread, you bought milk, you know, and there's all those jokes that go around about that. But some of you even planned what you would eat. You're like, ooh, we're going to have soup and we're going to do this. And we went and rented movies and all that. And so you want to make the most of the opportunity, right? And that's what we do. We want to make the most of an event like that. And so we get excited with a little snow. And I know everybody likes to ride us about that, but we just don't get it that often. So when you get it, you want to make the most of it. And so we ought to have that same mentality with life. You know what? We've only been given one. Let's make the most of it. Let's make the most of the opportunity that we've been given. How do we make the most out of the life that God has entrusted us with? And so if you've got your outline, you can kind of follow along. And that's what we're talking about today, is making the most of my life. Over the next few weeks, we'll talk about making the most of blank, whatever it might be. And next week, we'll look at some other things. And so the next few weeks, we'll be talking about how to make the most out of things. But today, we want to talk about making the most out of life. And there's a passage here out of James that says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." What he's saying is, listen, we make plans and we make, you know, we set goals and oftentimes we have these aspirations. But the thing is what we ought to be asking, hey, if it's God's will, if it's God's plan, if it's God's purpose, then we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Now, how many of you guys set goals for the new year? Raise your hand. Do you make a New Year's resolution or do you set some goals? Anybody else? You're the only honest ones? Y'all don't have to be afraid. Raise your hand. You embarrassed? Or you just don't want any accountability? We're trying to establish accountability right now. Raise your hand if you set some goals. All right, so everybody look and see who raised their hand. They set some goals. We need to ask them next week how they're doing. Because you're 8 days into it, right? You're 8 days into the new year. So how are you doing with your goals? Everybody doing pretty good? Raise your hand if you're doing really good. Raise your hand. How many of you guys, all right, now put your hands down. Raise your hand if you're not doing real good. Raise your hand. All right, hey, I appreciate the honesty. That's good. All right, so we need accountability if we want to really make change. And so some of you guys just established a little accountability. So we set goals, and goals can be good things. And what we need to do is we need to set incremental goals. We need to set a goal like, hey, today the goal is, this week the goal is, this month the goal is, this next 3 months, this will be the goal. And so we need to have incremental goals that we're working towards. Because if we set goals that are way out there and they almost seem insurmountable, they may be insurmountable. But if we take them one step at a time, one bite at a time, we might be able to get to that big goal if we take little baby steps to get there. And so it's good to have those goals, and it's good to have dreams, and it's good to have aspirations and things that we want to attain. But the real thing that we need to ask is that God's plan? See, there's lots of times whenever we have things that we want to accomplish, but it's all about us. I mean, our goal is to make, you know, us look better. Our goal is to, you know, have more money that for me to spend. And the really what we ought to be asking is, that, God, what is your plan? God, what is your purpose? God, what is your will for me? And it's like with our kids. We want our kids to go to school. We want them to get a good education. We want them to get a good job so they get out of the house one day, right? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. Now, some of you who are kind of a little bit dysfunctional, you want them to live there forever. That's not really healthy. But we should be launching them into life, letting them have their own families, letting them have their own lives. But they've got to prepare for that. So we often want them to be certain things. And we often say, hey, listen, we want you to do something that you make a lot of money at. What if that's not God's plan for their life? We all want them to be doctors and lawyers. We think, hey, they'll make a lot of money doing that. But money's not everything. I mean, money doesn't satisfy everyone. I mean, even the people who get a lot of money often want more money. And so what is it that we should want for our kids? What is it we should want for ourselves? It's for God's will and God's purpose and God's plan to be done in our life. And so here's a statement that says, in all reality, we have very little time to make our lives count for something. You know, just the other day, I posted a picture of our boys where we were in Cage Cove 8 years ago. And they were all so little looking. And I'm thinking, you know, what in the world? I mean, where did that 8 years go? It seems like it just happened. And, you know, and I always talk about this, but whenever I was a kid, it seemed like it was forever from one Christmas to the next. And now it's like, dude, every time we turn around, it's Christmas. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like the older you get, you know, it's just everything just moves quicker. But the time, and here's the thing, in reality, even in my life, you know, the sand is trickling out of the hourglass. And so I have less and less time to think about. You know, hey, how am I going to make the rest of my life matter? And so the question we should ask is, you know, God, how do I line up with your purpose, your plan, your will for my life? Because if we line up with those things, it has eternal impact. And let me just say this, it doesn't end with our last breath. But it's something that literally has an impact on how we spend eternity. And it has an effect on who will be in eternity. And so it's important for us to think along those lines. Most of us in this room, we want to feel like that what we do matters. No matter what you do, if you're a teacher, if you work construction, if you work in management, you work in, you know, the corporate office, no matter what you do, if you're in the military, you want to feel like that whatever you do, that it matters. And here's the thing, it can. No matter what you do, it can matter if it's done with the right mentality, the right heart, and the right focus. And so let's look at a couple of scripture passages here. Here's one out of Psalms. It says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I think back to David who said, I have hid God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. You know, here it says, even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. And so here the psalmist is talking about just the pleasure and the joy that comes from being in right standing with God, knowing that, you know what, man, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And for many of us in this room, that ought to give us comfort, ought to give us joy. For the believer, for the follower of Christ, we ought to be able to walk through life with a little bit of excitement and a little bit of joy and a little bit of anticipation about what it's going to be like one day to be in heaven. But too often what we do is we get focused on things down here. And I understand there are tragedies that happen. There are things that happen that we go through that can rob us of that joy. And this next passage kind of explains some of that. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. Most of us know that passage. What he's saying there is the evil one wants to rob you of the joy of life. He wants to rob you of your focus. He wants to rob you of your self-worth, if you would, about, hey, does what I do matter? He's going to always make you question, hey, do you really matter? Do you really make a difference? Does anybody really care about you? And he's going to always bombard you. It's almost like he's taking grenades and he's just kind of lobbing them in on you all the time. But his job is to destroy you. It's to destroy your focus. It's to destroy your drive. It's to destroy anything that is going to help the kingdom of God. That's his job. That's what the evil one does. He opposes us. He comes against us. And here's the thing. He is defeated, but yet we oftentimes will give him more attention than we give the God who has defeated him. And so what we've got to be willing to say is, you know, God, help me to stay focused on you. God, and like up here in the Psalms, it says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Is God guiding your daily decisions? Is he guiding how you lead your family? Is he guiding your marriage? Is he guiding how you parent? Or are you just kind of doing whatever the world says? Are you set apart? Are you holy? Are you righteous? Are you a godly person? You might say, well, no, I'm not really those things. If you're a follower of Christ, we're called to be. We're set apart for those things, for those purposes. And so the thing is we should be asking, you know, God, you know, what in me needs to change? Do I need to die to that I am righteous, that I am godly, that I am holy? God, because I want to be like Jesus was, and I want to be a witness of his love and a witness of his truth. And so God, change me And help me to be that witness for you. And so here, like I said, the psalmist is talking, God, you will guide me. And he's rejoicing in that. No matter what he goes through, he's saying, God, you will guide me. You won't leave me. You won't forsake me. And most of us need to be reminded, you know what? God will not forsake me. No matter what I'm going through, I may leave him, but he never leaves me. I may drift off. I may lose focus. I may be attracted to other things, but he never gives up on me. There's this question here. It says, are you experiencing all that God wants for you? And so just for a second, just ask yourself that question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but ask yourself, am I experiencing all that God wants for me? Am I experiencing joy? Because God wants me to experience joy. Am I experiencing peace? Because God wants me to experience peace. Am I experiencing the things, the fruits of the Spirit? Am I experiencing those in my life? Am I experiencing in my marriage all that God wants for my marriage? Am I experiencing in my family all that God wants for me in my family? Am I experiencing all in my parenting that God wants me to experience in my parenting? Because the thing is God wants me to experience those things so that I can pass them on to my children. And so the thing is we've got to be willing to say, God, I'm not experiencing all that you want in my life. So what's the roadblock? What is keeping me from making the most of my life, making the most of my life impact here? Like I said, we talked about it earlier that, you know, we're only given a certain amount of time and different people are given different amounts. Some will live to be 50. Some will live to be 60. Some don't even live to be that old. Some will live to be 80. Some may live to be 100. But what are you going to do with that window of opportunity? You know, what kind of impact are you going to make? Who are you going to touch? Who are you going to make a difference in their life for eternity? Are you causing people to stumble? Are you causing them to struggle? Are you causing them to doubt? If you're a believer, if you're a follower, it shouldn't be that way. And so how do we make the most out of life? And so let's kind of look here. How do we make the most out of life? Number one is we must have a sense of purpose. A sense of purpose. You know, and the thing about purpose is takes focus. What is a sense of purpose? What does that look like? So many people want to feel like their life matters. They want to feel like, you know what, they're going to make a difference. And some people ask, hey, what is the purpose of my life? Look at this statement here. It says, for God, or this passage, it says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. That doesn't mean just to fit in. That doesn't mean just to kind of still be one of the guys doing everything that all the guys do, being one of the girls doing everything that they do, but yet claiming to be a Christian. Let me read it again. It says, for God saved us and called us to be holy. Holy means to be set apart. It means to be different. Now, does that mean that you ostracize yourself from everyone? No. If anything, you're to reach out to them. You're to do everything you can to connect with them and share with them how they can be righteous, how they can be in right standing with God. He did this not because we deserved it. We didn't deserve anything, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing is we, those of us in this room that have put our faith in Christ, we have been called, that's what the scripture says, we've been called to be holy, to be set apart, to be righteous, to be godly people. And so let me ask you, do you feel like that you're a righteous, godly person? And it's not a time to kind of beat yourself up and go, oh, shame me, whatever. But it's to say, am I seeking God in everything that I do? Am I seeking God daily? See, it doesn't matter if you're a doctor or if you're a lawyer or if you're a fireman or if you're a teacher or if you're a construction worker or if you're in corporate America. It doesn't matter what you do, but if you say, you know what, God, I want you to be honored. I want you to be glorified. And Father, I want to acknowledge you in everything that I do every day. Then you can go and work those jobs and you can do all those things and still be in the center of God's will. Because we need godly teachers. We need godly leaders. We need godly people working in all those areas. We need godly business owners. We need all those things, people that are doing those things. But they're saying, you know what, God, I want to be set apart. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. I want to make a difference. God, I want to be like Christ. And so the more that we begin to step back and we go, you know, God, am I focused on what matters most? This morning, that was one of the things I was wanting to talk about was focus. And it seemed like there was more distractions this morning than any other morning in the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I thought it was kind of comical. I mean, we've had some mic issues and stuff, and it's just been some things going on. Not Mike, but Mike. And so anyway, so it's one of those things where I'm sitting there going like, you know, there's so many distractions. God, you know, what is the deal? And, but it's this, well, here's the thing. The evil one wants to distract. He wants to pull us away and cause us to lose focus on what matters most. And so this morning, you know, I was like, God, help me to stay focused. Help me to stay focused. I kept saying it in my mind. God, help me to stay focused on the message. Help me to stay focused on what matters most, what you want me to do today. And so I would say that's what we struggle with a lot of times is the focus. There's always distractions. And what we do sometimes is, you know, is we set goals and we set dreams and we have aspirations. But oftentimes those dreams and those goals are based on stuff for us, like how much money we will make. It's not about how much money we will make so that we can make a difference for the kingdom. It's how much money I will make so that I can have what I want. You know, we want to be maybe a fireman or whatever it might be because we like the adrenaline. Or is it because we have the opportunity to save lives, to impact people, to make a difference? We want to be a police officer. Is it do we want to be that because we'll be an authority, or is it because we get to protect and we get to share and we get to reach out to some of the toughest areas in town and share hope with them? And I know for teachers, oftentimes as teachers, we feel like, you know, we're so handcuffed this day and time by our government and all the junk that goes on and trying to keep you from being able to share your faith. But here's the thing. It's how you love those kids. And I promise you, your kids that are in your class, they will know if you love them. The people that you serve, they will know that you love them. And so you have an opportunity to make a difference with what you're doing and say, God, you know, this may be what you gave me to do as a task or as a career, but God, I want it to be your purpose that is fulfilled in this ministry that I do. And if every one of us would have that mentality that we have a ministry. And I think sometimes when we say ministry, people think, oh, that's like what Pastor Mike does. No, it's what you do. It's how you live your life. It's whenever you're loving people and you're serving people, you know what you're doing? You're ministering to people. And so every believer in this room, everybody that has put their faith in Christ, you have a ministry that you are called to. Now, God may call you to be a missionary. He may call you to be a pastor. But for most, in the majority, a lot of times He calls you to go into the working world and He calls you to be a witness. He calls you to be holy. He calls you to be set apart. And He has a purpose for you being there. And so what we've got to ask ourselves, God, you know, am I fulfilling your purpose? God, am I lined up with your plan? God, am I lined up with what you want? And so think about where you work at right now. Think about your job. And I know oftentimes we don't feel appreciated. Like I think about some of the moms who are always washing clothes and always picking up after the kids and always doing things. And there's times whenever they don't feel appreciated. And maybe even in your working environment, you don't feel appreciated. But what is the purpose of you being there? Here's the thing. I can tell you this. God appreciates you. Now, do you need to hear from your kids and your husband and maybe your coworkers and your boss and them that you're appreciated? Yes. But the thing is we have to have that mentality. You know what? God has me here for a purpose. It is to impact. It is to influence. It is to make a difference. And so for God has called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was His plan from before the beginning of time to show us His grace through Christ Jesus. The statement here, it says, a life without purpose will cause us to chase empty promises that only bring dissatisfaction, heartache, disillusionment, a sense of failure, apathy, emptiness, and a sense of total worthlessness. See, I hope that there's none of you in this room that you feel like that describes you. Because that is not God's plan for your life, nor is it His purpose. If we back up here to where Jesus says, I have come that you might have life more and have it more abundantly, that's what for every believer we ought to hear. But too often, this description down here may be what you feel like describes you. And that's probably because of a lack of focus. And here's the other thing, a lack of appreciation for what God has already put in your life. Look up here at King Solomon. He had everything. He had everything. So he had it all. So let's read here in verse 10. It says, anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. And right up under that it says, when Solomon lost sight of God's purpose, the things in his life became worthless and futile. As a result, he became very dissatisfied and discontent with his life. Some of you in this room, you may feel like, hey, that's me. I don't feel like my life really is filled with meaning or purpose. And maybe it's because your focus has been on the wrong things. You notice he said, he goes, I even focused on working hard. I found great pleasure in hard work. I remember years ago, Laurie's dad, his name's Larkin, he wrote a letter to Laurie and her sister Wendy. And many of you guys have maybe heard me talk about this before, but he had been a workaholic. He worked really hard at his job. He would travel all over the state, and so he worked really hard making a difference and connecting with people and helping them with their land and their properties and stuff like that, managing it. And so he would travel a good bit, but he would work really hard at work, and then he would come home, he would eat dinner, and then he would go downstairs into the basement, which they called his little office or whatever down there, and he would work there until late at night, sometimes 10, 11 o'clock or whatever, working more. And anyway, so he missed some things as the girls were growing up. He missed swim meets. He missed being at activities and stuff like that. And he still tried to be what he could, but he missed a lot. And so he writes them this letter one Christmas. And he's writing them a letter, and he's saying, hey, listen, you know, he said, I chose the wrong path. I chose my career, the accolades, whatever I might be able to accomplish in my career field over you. And he said, I chose the wrong things. And he was apologizing. He was asking them for their forgiveness pretty much. And then the sweet girls that they were like, Daddy, you know, you were a great dad. But what he was also admitting, I was an absent dad. I was too busy working to try to make means, to try to make provisions for my family. And here's the thing. Sometimes as dads, we get to that point where we think, We've got to provide. And it's all about work. And we forget that it's about leading our family. It's about loving our family. It's about being present. It's about making memories. It's about influencing our kids. And so what we have to be careful about as moms or dads is that we're not workaholics. That we don't get so focused on something that it becomes our God. It becomes our focus. It becomes our purpose. And we kind of lose sight of what God's plan is. Now, one of the cool things is when I was there when Larkin wrote that letter or gave it to him, and they read it, and I watched the change in him over the years. And so when we gather for Thanksgiving or we gather for Christmas, you know, his focus is on the Spirit of God, and he's talking about the Christ Spirit. It's always in his conversation at every gathering, and even this past year we lit candles remembering those that we had lost, that had passed on and gone on to be with the Lord. And then he had one that was the biggest candle. It's called the Christ candle. And I thought, you know, how his focus has changed has been incredible. And so for many of us, that may be us. Maybe for too long you have been chasing what the world says is important. You've been chasing what, you know, your colleagues say is important. You've been chasing what maybe you were raised to think was important. And you realize, maybe you're starting to realize, and maybe you haven't yet, but one day you'll realize the most important thing is Christ being Lord of your life. You living out God's plan, God's purpose, God's will for your life. Because it has the greatest influence, the greatest impact on those around us. Not just our family, but our friends, our co-workers, our kids, their kids, I mean, their friends. I mean, all these things. It will be an impact that will last forever. Look at what Solomon says here. He said, what do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And look at this. He has also set eternity in the human heart. You might want to underline that. He has also set eternity in the human heart. In other words, we want to be part of something that lasts forever. We're built that way. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, to do good while they can, to make a difference while you can, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. That is the gift of God. What he's saying is, listen, it's not just working and working and feeling like it's meaningless, but it's to feel like that what you do has meaning and purpose. And that is a gift from God, to feel like, hey, I can go and be a teacher who's making a difference in the lives of kids. I can go and be a coach who's making the difference in the lives of kids. And that some of these kids will one day put their faith in Christ because of how I have led them, how I have invested them, and how I have loved them. I can go and be a police officer, a fireman, or a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it might be, I can go be an employee, a waitress or a waiter, and I can be that and do that in such a way that, you know what, I have meaning and purpose, and that the people that I influence, that I come in contact with, that maybe one day they'll put their faith in Christ. And it will have an eternal impact. It will make a difference, not just in this vapor of a life, but for all of eternity. And so when we begin to think with an eternal perspective, we begin to realize, you know what, I've only been given such a short amount of time. What do I do with what I've been given? How do I make the most of it? How do I make the most of my life? And that's exactly what he was saying. What's his name? Rick Warren wrote a book a few years ago called The Purpose-Driven Life. And he has sold millions of copies. I don't even know how many. But as of 2007, he had sold 30 million copies of that book. 30 million copies. And so all these people are trying to find out, hey, what does it mean to have purpose? What does it mean to live with purpose? The purpose-driven life. And so what people were doing is they were going to this book. They want to know, how do I have purpose in life? I want to know that, you know what, my life matters. And one of the things that they found as they studied that book, the premise of the book was love God, love others, serve God, serve others. There's nothing about self in there other than dying to it. And so when we realize, you know what, that part of my purpose is to die to self, and it's not about me, but to realize that it's about loving God and loving others and serving God and serving others. Look at the statement here. It says, the Father's greatest desire is for you to have a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Once you have received God's forgiveness, then you're ready to fulfill the rest of His plan for your life. Your destiny will unfold as you obey the daily prompting and guiding of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to understand something. If you don't hear anything else today, that God's purpose in sending His Son Jesus Christ to this earth was that we might be able to have a right relationship with God through His Son Jesus Christ. The reason, the purpose for the cross was so that Jesus could literally lay down His life as a sacrifice. That He would be the one and final sacrifice to pay for your sins and my sins. And so Jesus, He came here with purpose. His purpose was to fulfill the Father's plans, the Father's will. That was His purpose. That's the reason He existed. And so He went to the cross to pay for your sins and my sins that I could not cover, that I could not pay for. And so one of the greatest things that we could do to line up with God's purpose is to receive His Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, to accept Jesus Christ and to begin to live for Him and begin to follow Him and to do everything that we can to line up with His teaching. And so the more that we get our mind around that, you know what, God's purpose for my life is for me to be saved and for me to live as one who is set apart and to live in such a way that I get to impact and influence the people around me. And so the Father's greatest desire is for you to have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the greatest purpose. Now let's look at a couple of other steps that I think are critical for this. Is number one is we must know God's Word. In order for me to make the most of my life, I need to have pretty good direction. I know some of you are probably like me that there are times if you don't have a goal, if you don't have maybe some things set up or maybe a schedule or whatever, you can kind of waste time. You can kind of lose sight of what's important and you can kind of get off on other things. There's times I'll go on the internet because I'm looking for something and I'll have already read the news or I'll do something and I'm like, what did I come on here for? Oh, yeah, I got to look that up. And so there's times I'll lose direction. I'll lose sight. And so what we've got to do is we need something that gives us guidance. We need something that gives us direction. And so we must know God's Word. Look at this out of 2 Timothy. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us what to do. Teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. All right, remember, King Solomon said that what we ought to do is do all the good that we can while we can, right? While we are alive, do all the good that you can. Well, how do you know what you're to do unless you're into God's Word? If you're reading God's Word, if you've got some daily time in God's Word, if you're reading God's Word, then you begin to understand what God desires of us. But if you're not spending time in God's Word at all, other than maybe what we do in here, you're missing out on God's plan and God's purpose and God's will for your life for that day. You're missing things. He's wanting to change you. He's wanting to train you, equip you, and prepare you for the works of ministry. And so you're missing some of that. So whenever we're not in God's Word, we're missing out on that. Look at it again. All Scripture is inspired by God and it's useful to teach us what is true. Most of us in this room, we need to know the truth. There's so many lies out there. Our media is full of lies. Social media is full of lies. There's so much garbage that is out there. And there are people that literally sit around fabricating lies just to have something to put out there. And so we, as God's people, we as the followers of Christ, we need to know what truth is. And what is sad is too many Christians, too many followers of Christ, who claim to be following Him, they don't even know what He said. We'll fuss and fight over the fact that people, maybe they don't believe the Bible, but we don't even read the Bible. So we've got to be willing to say, you know what? I need to be spending time reading the Bible, memorizing Scripture, hiding God's Word in my heart. I need to have a devotion daily. I need to be listening to Scripture. One of the great things about some of the songs that we listen to, if you listen to Christian music, is it's often Scripture that has been put to music. Some of what you guys sang this morning was Scripture. And so we need to know what truth is. And so we need to understand truth. It says it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. See, we need accountability. We need someone to correct us at times. Parents, you ever have to correct your kids? I hope so. Y'all are mighty quiet right there. Hope we don't have all those parents that won't correct them. Because if not, you know, everybody else have to deal with correcting them down the road or whatever. And so here's the thing is what I hope you understand is we have a responsibility to correct our kids, to sometimes bring them back into line, to sometimes kind of help them get pointed in the right direction. Because they're kids, right? I mean, their job is to test the boundaries. Our job is to reinforce the boundaries. And so that's what they do. And it's not that they, you know, are trying to be mean or anything. Sometimes they're mean-spirited. But the thing is that what they're doing is they're trying to learn their own way. And we're trying to launch them into life. And we've got to be willing to say, you know what? Hey, here are the boundaries. And there are times we have to stick to those boundaries. Because they will push against them, I promise you. But we must know God's Word. And then look at this next one. We must keep God's commands. We must keep God's commands. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. That's what He said. So if you love, and I bet if I was to ask everybody here, hey, do you love Jesus? You'd say, oh man, I love Jesus. I just got through singing songs to Him. I got through worshiping Him. But here's the thing is, He said, if you love Him, you're going to follow His commands. So if you're not in God's Word, how do you know what He said? How do you know what His commands are if you're not spending time in devotion, if you're not spending time reading the Scriptures? There are times that we will read every book but the Bible. Who do you think motivates us and pushes us to do that? The evil one. If he can distract us, if he can discourage us, if he can dissuade us, then he wins, he thinks. But he still loses. But I'm just saying, if he can keep us from spending time in God's Word, then he feels like he can keep us from sharing God's Word with those around us who need to hear God's Word. And so what happens is we get busy with life and we'll read everything but that. We'll read the news, we'll read Facebook, we'll read everything else but God's Word. And for the believer, for the follower of Christ, we need to spend time in God's Word so that we know what He's teaching us, that He can guide us and He can lead us. If you love me, obey my commandments. Jesus made it pretty clear. If you really love me, do what I've said. So what did He tell us to do? One that pops out, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, everything that's in you. So let me ask you, do you really love God that way? Because if you love Jesus, then you're saying, I'm going to obey His commandment. And His command was to love God with everything that's in me. Do you love Him enough that He is the focus of your life? He is the focus of your day. He is the focus of why you do things. He also said to love your neighbor. Do you love your neighbor? Do you know your neighbor? Kind of hard to know. It's kind of hard to love them if you don't know them, right? Then, of course, you kind of like the guy who asked Jesus, hey, well, who is my neighbor? It's the ones that we care for, the ones that we reach out to. It's the ones that we minister to. The Good Samaritan, he ministered. He took care of the guy. And so our neighbor are those that we have the opportunity to influence and to minister to. And then this last one, we need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. As a follower of Christ, we are called to be His witness. And a witness means that we are sharing His love, that we're a testimony of what He is like. I had a lady one time, we were in a life group, and I heard Kelly talking earlier about life groups. And if you guys have not got involved in a life group, you're missing out. It is where the rubber hits the road. It's where you really kind of build relationships. In here, you can make acquaintances, and you can say, hey, how you doing? You can shake hands and whatever. It's good to see you. But in a life group, you get to connect on a deeper level. You get to know each other. You get to know the names of each other's kids. You get to pray for one another. You get to pray for the things that nobody else, you know, you're willing to share with, but you will share them in there. It is a great place to connect. And so if you're not in a life group, I promise you, you're missing out. And I believe that God will use, number one, that life group to help you understand a little bit more about what God's plan and purpose is for your life. So if you're searching for that, join a life group. But we were in this life group, and this lady, she asked me, she'd been in church for like 20-something years. And she asked me, she said, Pastor Mike, she goes, what is the testimony? And I'm thinking, and I know how long she's been in church. I'm thinking, how long have you been in church? In my mind, and y'all may be thinking the same thing today, so I'm going to answer it for you just like I answered it for her. I said, well, your testimony is when you're telling or you're sharing, you know, what God has done in your life. You're kind of telling others what you've seen. And I said, it'd be kind of like if a car accident happened. They said, hey, would you be willing to testify? And you say, yes. Well, what they would say, hey, give us an account of what you have seen. And so what you're doing as a Christian, as a follower, when you testify or when you give your testimony, you're saying, hey, I testify this to be truth. And this is what I have experienced. This is what I have seen God do in my life. This is what I've seen God do in the lives of the people around me. This is what He has done to change me and to transform me. And what you're doing is you're testifying. You're telling others the truth that you have seen and experienced. And therefore, you become a witness, an eyewitness, if you would. And so think about this. You're a witness of what Christ has done. And so the more that you do those things, and the more that you love people, the more that you follow His teaching, people see as an eyewitness how you live, how you treat people, how you love people. And they go, I have seen God at work in you. And I want what you have. I want to experience the joy that you have. I want to experience the peace that you have. I want to experience the patience that you have. How do you get that? And then you get to tell again how Christ saved you. And you become the vessel and you become the voice box, if you would, where God says, this is how much I loved you and this is how you can be saved. And so we need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Look what it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. You might want to underline this, and they follow me. And they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me, and He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. And so here Jesus is saying, my sheep, they know me. They hear my voice and they follow me. So let me ask you, most of us in this room who claim to be Christians, what that means is we say, I'm a follower of Christ. And too often the title Christian, it's just kind of a tag, but a follower of Christ is following His commands, obeying His commands, following His example, living the way that He did. So let me ask you this. Ask yourself, am I a follower of Christ? Or am I following the world? Am I more focused on the pattern that the world gives me? Or am I more focused on the pattern that God gave me? Jesus is the pattern He gave us. Am I more focused on fitting in and being one of the boys, one of the girls? Or am I more focused on being holy and righteous and godly and set apart? Am I more focused on expanding the kingdom, reaching those who are lost? Or am I more focused on self? So just ask yourself those questions. Many of you guys know the story of Rhonda Adair. You see, it's on the billboards now. It's been all over Facebook. But we've known their family for a while. And Rhonda, it used to be Rhonda Parker. Rhonda has been battling cancer, and she has a lesion on her neck. They have just found a diagnosis this past week, and we're praying, and they're praying for healing, praying for a miracle. And we were talking about it this morning in here. Our sister Robin has done an incredible job of pulling together support for Rhonda. And anyway, it's been incredible for me to sit back and watch how God has used their faith. And so I sent Robin a text, and I just told her, listen, I want you to know how proud I am of you. And how your faith has come alive. How your faith has come alive through this. And how God is going to use you and your sisters to impact so many lives with the gospel. And her thing was, she goes, you know, you hate that it takes horrible situations sometimes for God to get your attention. But here's what I would say even to us as we pray for Rhonda. That God would heal her. But ultimately, it's God's will. It's God's purpose. It's God's plan. And God's purpose and plan may be what is taking place right now. There are thousands upon thousands of people that are hearing that story, that are following that story. And so here's the cool thing. What if God does heal Rhonda? What if He heals her and it's a miracle. Will we talk about it? Will we make it, take an opportunity to say, hey, listen, let me share the story. It'll give Rhonda a platform and an opportunity to talk about God's grace and God's healing. It'll give Robin that opportunity. And they've used that even in the storm itself, even in the struggle right now. So let me ask you, how are you going to let God use your story? Because it's easy to say that about Rhonda. She's battling cancer. She's all over Facebook. How are you going to use what you've been given to bring glory and honor to God's name, so that His purposes and His will and His plan might be fulfilled in your life? And so what adjustments, what changes does it take in you for you to say, God, I want you to be my focus. I want you to be the one that gets all glory. God, I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about you. And see, when we do that, we become a very bold witness for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He will take our lives when we surrender them to Him. And He will use them to do great and mighty things that will have an eternal impact. Not just in this little vapor, mist, or fog of a season that we get to enjoy. But it'll last for eternity. Let's pray. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ. You're missing the most important purpose. You're missing the most important reason that Jesus came. So I want to give you an opportunity. Maybe you're sitting here and you realize, man, I have never accepted Christ. I've never surrendered my heart. See, accepting Christ is not something we just kind of add to what we're already doing. It's we give up everything for Him. And then He takes whatever we do, whether it's to be a doctor, lawyer, teacher, pastor, missionary, housewife, homemaker, whatever it might be. But that His purpose, that His will, His glory is the focus. See, too often I think that's it. We just lose focus. We get focused on the wrong things. We get distracted. So right now I just want to ask you, just search your heart and say, God, am I saved? Am I a believer? Am I a child of the King? And here's the thing, most of us in this room, we know if we have been saved or not. And we know if we haven't. And so right where you're at, just say, God, search my heart. Show me where I stand. And maybe you're here today and you realize, you know what? That is what I need. I need to accept Christ. And so I just want to ask you, with everybody's got their heads bowed and eyes closed, if you feel like, hey, that is my need, is to accept Christ, I just want to ask you, if you will, raise your hand. All right? Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? Just say, Mike. Pastor Mike, that's my need. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? Raise it high so I can see it. Anybody else? All right, as everyone else is praying, I want you, if you raise your hand, I want you to look up here at me. And I want you to hear what I say. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you ask Him by faith to come into your life, He says He will save you. That make sense? He gives you the opportunity to accept or reject. You're saying, I need to receive Christ. And so by making that decision, what we do is we say, Jesus, I confess You that I'm a sinner. I confess You that I have messed up. And so, Jesus, I want to quit living the way I've been living, and I want to live for You. And so, Jesus, I'm giving You my life. I'm giving You my heart. And if that is the decision of your heart, He says that your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you are adopted into His family, and you become His child. Saved forever. For who He holds in His hand, no one can snatch away. That makes sense? Welcome to the family of God. For the rest of us in this room, maybe you've never accepted Christ. Maybe you're not ready. This young lady had the courage to raise her hand, and it takes courage to do that. But you know what? Right where you're at, God can save you. He wants to come into your heart. Just like she prayed by faith, you pray by faith. It's the only way we're saved, by faith. It's not by works. It's not by deeds. It's just by faith. but He changes us forever. Maybe you're here and you realize, you know, I've been a believer for a long time, but I haven't been in God's Word. And maybe my focus has been on the world, fitting in. The goals that the world has, not necessarily the goals that God has. And so maybe it's just time to change. And so right where you're at, you can say, God, today I need to change. Guide me. Lead me. Teach me. Show me. Help me. And He will. Father, I thank You for loving us. I thank You for meeting with us here today. God, I thank You for this one who has put her faith in You for salvation. God, I pray that this will be a day that she never forgets. So, Lord, I pray that as we leave this place as a church, God, that we would look for the opportunity to be a witness for You today. God, that we would hunger, we would thirst, we would desire to be in Your Word, to hear what You have to say, to hear Your promises, to hear the words that bring healing to the bones, is what Scripture says. God, that we would desire to know You and want to learn about You. God, we would obey Your commands, and Father, we would be that bold witness for You. Help us as a church to be a witness in this community. God, to reach out, to build bridges into the community, to look for ways to share the hope that we have. God, let 2017 be a year like no other. God, that we would see people come to know You in a personal way on a regular basis. And God, we pray that You'd receive all glory and praise for that. But God, as we are doing life, as we're going about our jobs, let us do them with purpose. God, let us see that You want to use us wherever You send us as Your witness and as Your vessel. God, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for what You're doing today. In Jesus' name.